So we've been going through the Bible little by little, working through some things and kind of opening up the scriptures of Matthew. And have you guys been reading ahead, kind of looking into the depth of what Matthew is talking about and who it applies to? You know, it's kind of interesting when we look at the word, we kind of look at things like past, that was in the past. But as we look into the word, we find out it's past, present, and future. And as we look at the things that are going on in our world today, I think it's interesting when we look at Matthew, we can see things that are happening in today. When we get to later on in the book of Matthew, we'll see some what Jesus said to look for in the future. We're going to break that loose a little bit and kind of look at that and see where we are in the timeline of what we see in Scripture and what's going on today. When we look at the Muslim world, when we look at the Christian world, we look at the Jewish relationship to all of that, and we see Israel, we see the United States, and we see all the things that are going on around Israel now. And when we break into Scripture, we'll look at the Old Testament. We'll refer back to the Old Testament a little bit when we get later on in Matthew, and we'll see how these things are right before us. And as we look, we'll see that unfold right before our very eyes. And those that have eyes to see can see it. Those that are blind will not see it. They'll think everything's good. We've got lots of time. Jesus isn't coming back because things haven't happened yet. Listen, nobody knows the day or hour. We need to be ready today. Today, today, today. We need to be on our faces before God, having relationship with Him, listening to what He says to us in our sphere where we are. Where we are, because it matters. It certainly matters, and it matters to those that are around you. And so, if we've got things we need to get cleaned up before the Lord, last week we went to end to Cross Sunday, the way of the cross, pleasing ourselves or pleasing God. And we found that we had some things. And listen, you guys, I know that after we do Cross Sunday, there's a lot of things that kind of come up as we've put things on the cross and we've said, Lord, have your way in us. And then we go along in the next week and we find out, wow, there's things in our lives that, man, it just seems like it just comes apart. And it's challenging us to stay with our commitment before the Lord. And we are not a committed people as a whole. We really aren't. I mean, we kind of do our own thing. And when we talk about commitment to the Lord, it's very serious on the things that we say or what we put on the cross. And we went in, we examined ourselves and we took communion. And then we're challenged right after that, aren't we? Did anybody go through a challenge this week? Probably everybody in some way or another. But that's our response to God to say, look, I surrender. I get it. I understand that there's going to be, we have an adversary and we're fighting this battle. And in this battle, we win. We win as we surrender to you. We've won, right? And so God will give us the answers. He'll give us direction. And He is our burden barrier, or bearer. He's our burden bearer. He's the bearer too. I mean, He's the barrier as well. But he takes our burdens upon Him. That's why He died on the cross. Otherwise, why would He go up there? If He didn't care for you, He would have never done that. So personally, He cares for you. He did it for you. And we need to take that personally. We need to take it very personally for me and my relationship with Christ, and take it personally that He made a way for me. And so therefore, as He's made that way, there's a path and I have to walk in it. And He's directed my path. He's directed your path as well. And so you take these steps. He's a light into our feet as He opens the window of opportunity for us to see, have eyes to see. We are challenged then to see, what are we going to do with that? Right? Are we going to close our eyes and go, you know, it's their problem, not mine? Or are we going to take responsibility for us? Okay? And that's what Jesus is really doing when He's taking us through this. And He's showing us in this area of our burdens, and He's coming in and He's taken the responsibility for us. And I'll show you in three different areas in chapter 11, 1 through 30. We'll look at this and kind of tear it apart. So let's go ahead and kick it off. Let's pray first. Father, we pray for God, your Spirit to illuminate to us in our spirit, Lord, to capture what you're saying here. Lord, that we would understand your word. And God, that we would put this into practice in our own individual lives every day. Lord, moment by moment, when we're alone and there's no one else around, and in our thought life and what we think of and how we surrender all the things that go on in our lives to you. And Lord, that we would bring you right into the center and allow you to be the one that carries our burden, Lord. And Lord, we just ask, God, that your blessings be upon this message. And Lord, we would be responsible to do what you've asked us. And so, God, we ask that you would give us strength, the ability to hear, and as we have eyes to see, Lord, then Lord, we'd walk this out. So we love you and ask for strength and courage. In Jesus' name, amen. So when Jesus had finished giving instruction to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now, what had Jesus been doing before this? He was healing people, right? Basically, he was going around to these different cities, and whoever was really asking or willing to allow Jesus to heal them, he would, right? It was their faith that was going on, and they were seeing that he was the Messiah and that he had something for them. And so they reached out and they grabbed a hold of that. So now when John, while in prison, just talking about John the Baptist, he got thrown in prison shortly after Jesus came back out of the wilderness. They captured John and they put him in prison, and he'd been there ever since. And so now when John, while in prison, heard of the work of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John." So while John was in prison, what do you think was going on in his mind? Why would he ask this question? And he was burdened. He wanted to know that what he was sent to do was accomplished. And is Jesus the one, the Messiah, that he went before to share about? And he needed to have that burden released from him. He was in prison now, and he couldn't do what he was doing before. Now, I don't know about you guys, but to me, I can capture John's heart there. I mean, he had done everything he could, and they stuck him in a hole, and he couldn't do it no more. And so he wanted to know before the Lord that had he fulfilled the thing that God put him to. If you guys really capture that, because I take that personally in my life, right? Before I die, I actually went to a funeral yesterday, and it was one of my cousins had passed and at 58, and I started thinking about fulfilling my destiny, right? And what I was called to do in my purpose in life. And listen, life is so stinking short. I mean, in any of us, it could be done tomorrow. It could be done today. You don't know. And so if you are really sold out to Christ, your heart's going to be really tugged in the area of fulfilling God's call in your life. Otherwise, you just won't care, right? It won't matter to you. You're just going to go on about life, and you've been saved, and that's all. But Jesus really called us all to more than that. Right? He's called us to a relationship, and he's called us to share our lives with others. And what that is in your capacity, only you would know that before the Lord. But I got to find my glasses. I must have left upstairs. I had a meeting this morning, and I forgot them. Ah, thank you. Yeah. So he says, Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you have heard and see." Not what you've seen, what you're seeing, what's going on right now, what you see. And so the blind receive sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are risen up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who does not take offense at me. And so basically what he's saying to these guys is, you go back and tell John and he'll know. When these things are happening in his area of influence, when John knows these things are taking place, that the Messiah had come and people are getting healed and people's eyes are opened, right, and they are getting the gospel message to them, we have to understand that when that's happening, you know that Jesus is near. He's here. He's doing, it's going on, right? And I think of that today as if the gospel message is being preached and people are getting touched and healed and changed in Jesus' name, we know that the work is being done. If it's not happening, then we know that it's not being done. So there's our gauge in our life. Do we see that around us, right? And if we are seeing that, amen, because that's what Jesus came for. If we're not seeing that, why? Then we need to engage in our part to see that it does happen, because why? He's imparted this to you so that you'd be about his business, that you would be working for him and doing those things. So John was when he came back to hear that, I'm sure he knew then that the Messiah was here and that things were happening the way that God had planned. And so the burden was lifted. John got to know that it's done. This is done. It's going on. And so as we'll read on in the next few chapters, we'll find out. Thank you. We'll find out what happened to John and basically what happened to his life. So as most of you know, he was beheaded at a birthday party, but we'll get to that later. So blessed is he who does not take offense at me. And so he's talking to the people and the things that are going on. And guess who took offense to him? You guys remember that? Who was being offended by Jesus? What's that? The Pharisees, you betcha. They were offended that Jesus was doing all this healing and people's attention was going off the synagogue and their leadership onto Jesus. And they were going, wait, what about us? How are we going to get paid? They were more worried about their stuff on earth than they were about Jesus, the Messiah, his work being done. And so as these men were going away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. He said, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you see? What did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who wear soft clothing are in king's palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, the one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. And basically, for you and me, the Holy Spirit prepared the way for us. Do you guys understand that he touched you and drew you to himself? The Holy Spirit came, and some people reject that. Did you know that? Some people will get that, and they'll go, they don't understand, so they don't surrender to the draw of the Holy Spirit's tug on their hearts, and they'll say no, because they can't see it physically. They don't understand it spiritually, so then they reject it. Or maybe things in the past, or the wounds of someone's life, or situations that happened in their life. And as the Holy Spirit speaks, they tend to say no to that because they don't have any idea what to do with it. And all God said was to surrender. Just to surrender, and he'll show you as you go. So if there's difficulties in your life about the Spirit of God working and how he works, and you don't understand, you know what? The best thing you can do is just surrender, and he'll give you understanding, because it's in the Spirit that you understand. And so John was the messenger, and he says, behold, he says, truly I say to you, among those born of woman, there is not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So who was he talking to? Right? They all knew who John the Baptist was and the great things that he had done. But what he's saying, he's talking to you and me. He said, even the least, those that don't know, right? But God's given us opportunity to know, and as we know, we'll do great things. So he's talking to you. So from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. What was he talking about? He's talking about all the things that took place in the Old Testament. All the things we look back in Joshua's days and the force that had to have been taken, and the people that were evil were killed off by the droves. And God had to do that because of the evil that was in the world. Clear back into Noah's day, he destroyed the whole earth because of evil, because of just garbage that people were just running with, and he had to stop it. And guess what? He's got to do it again. And this time it's not going to be by flood, it's going to be by fire. That's in the future. So we look at past, we look at present, where we are now, and looking at the days to come. We know that he's coming again. And when he does, right, he's going to come with judgment. And a lot of people go, wait. No, he's not. Right? And yes, he is. And so he's given us all this, these words for us to understand. Look, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. If you understand who I am, you'll understand that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And through me, great things can happen. Without me, nothing will happen. And so it says in 13, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah who was to come. Now, a lot of people take this and run with it. So is it reincarnated Elijah? No. No, he was saying Elijah was a prophet to the Old Testament world to bring truth. John was one to the New Testament. He's talking about the spiritual, right? And if you can accept this, you have to understand spiritually, God sends a wave before us to bring us into his presence, right? Elijah was an Old Testament prophet. John was a New Testament prophet. He was making a way for Jesus. So was Elijah. He was making the way and giving understanding as well. And so he who has an ear, let him hear. Let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And when people look at that, they go, their brain just runs off. Right? He wasn't saying John was Elijah. He was talking spiritually, the message that was sent before. John was a New Testament prophet. Right? He was the one that made the way. But to what shall I compare this generation? Now, Jesus was talking about the generation he was living in. And I have to say this, that we can compare as well right now when we read Jesus' words. He says, it's like children sitting in a marketplace who call out to the other children and say, we played a flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. Listen, here's what I see in this. And I don't know if you can capture this, but I believe we're living in the days that Jesus was living in today or then. It's repeated itself. The Spirit of God is sending out the message, right? But nobody's dancing. Right? Very few people are dancing. Very few people are hearing this. He's sending the message. The message is alive. In worship this morning, if you can close your eyes and grab the words and the message of Jesus, you're going to find out he's right there right now. And the words and the sound and this music and the Spirit is moving. But are you dancing? Are you engaging? Are you grabbing a hold of what Jesus is doing, or are you just standing in your place and looking around, right? And checking it out, gnarly tunes, or whatever goes through your head, I don't know, right? I know this, that there's more to this than meets the flesh, right? It has to be seen spiritually. We have to engage spiritually, or we will miss it, right? And so he's saying it very clearly. But he's comparing this generation. It's like children sitting in a marketplace who call out to the other children and say, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he's a demon. See the judgment that's going on? And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom vindicates by what? Her deeds. Her. The female. Her deeds. Like wisdom. It's her. She's speaking. Men, grab it. No. But the understanding here is this, is that the judgment came upon the Spirit of God and saying it's not for me. Or you guys can enter into that, but I'm not ready yet, or I don't feel it, not hooking up, not getting it, or I trust, you know, what the Spirit's doing, and so I'll stay here until I hear the voice from heaven. You know, listen, God's already spoken. You've heard everything there is to hear right here. You can read it for yourself. The important thing is, are you engaging in what he's saying? Right? Are you judging the Spirit of God? Right? Saying, well, you know, the Spirit don't work like that anymore. It worked like that then, but it isn't that way now. Or God hasn't done nothing for me. You know, there's nothing fall out of heaven and hit me in the head. you guys, it's spiritual. You got to understand that it's happening right now, right here, right now, today, this moment, this very moment. As you're sitting in the chair reading this word, listening to this word, or whatever you're doing, you have to understand that the Spirit of God is tugging on your heart and speaking very clearly to you. Engage. And he's saying, come, dance with me. Come, do the work of service that I put you to. What is it that you're called to do? And he'll tell you exactly what it is. We're talking about on Wednesday nights, the gifts of the Spirit, right? And he says, God has given everyone a gift. Everyone has it, has a gift that God has created you with so that you would be part of the body and engage in it. It says, and so on to 20, it says then, and so the burden, I want you to come back to he wants to take the burden off of you and allow you to enter into that peace, right? Because his Spirit gives us peace. He sent his Spirit as a comforter for those of us that are here now in this world dealing with all the things that are going on spiritually, right? There's many voices speaking, but there's one voice of the Lord. And it's peaceful, and it's good understanding. But all those other voices, just tune them out, because they're screaming at you. And usually, the ones that are screaming are the ones you don't want to listen to. Has anybody figured that out yet? The ones that are yelling at you and getting your emotions all riled out is the ones that you need to say, stop, enough. I'm not going to allow that to drag me away. So then he began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done. Did you guys capture that? Jesus is talking now, and now he's gonna talk about the cities that he did the miracles in. And now I want you to try to grasp this spiritually and take it individually in your life. What did Jesus do for you? Right? What did he do for you? And then have you rejected the things that he's done and went back to the old? Went back to the comfortable. Went back to what's easy. Went back to what's not hard for you. It's really easy to stay in your own little life and keep everybody locked out. But when he began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not repent. Now, we went through a time of repentance last Sunday, those of you who are here. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and in Sidon. Now, just a background. With this, there's three cities that he talked about, Old Testament cities that were destroyed by God. Tyre, Sidon, and Sodom. We know that in the Old Testament, God came and wiped them out because of the sin, because of their failure to do what God had called them to do, right? He was asking them to stop doing this immoral stuff in their life, right? But they didn't listen. And so God destroyed them, okay? And Jesus is saying this in this passage of Scripture, and you can read it, but I'll read it again so you get your mind wrapped around it. What he's saying is in the Old Testament, had these people repented like these guys did and the miracles from Jesus happened in their town, they would have still survived it. They would have not been destroyed had they had Jesus there to show them the miracles and show them the way. But they didn't have it at that time. They had the Old Testament. And so Jesus was saying, if I was there and did the miracles there, God would not have destroyed those towns and cities. But you see me. He's saying, I came to you and I did the miracles in your town and you rejected me. Right? And listen, you guys, we're sitting right there right now. Jesus did the miracles in my life. And if I would turn my back on him and say, no, I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to teach. There's no money in it. Right? And it's hard to be a servant to people. It's hard to clean up after people. You know, it's hard to sweep the floors and clean the toilets. And said, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do my own thing. What would that be doing? Right? What would it be doing? It would be doing the same thing those guys did. God pulled me and did a miracle in my life. And if I would just turn my back on you guys and say, no, I'm tired of working with you guys. I'm tired of trying to drag you along. I'm done. That would be saying to God, the position that you put me in to do, I just refuse to do it. And where would the sheep be? Now bring it personally into your life. What if you just said, look, I want to do the easy things in church, or I just want to do what I want to do. And if somebody tells me I can't, then I'm not happy. So what did Jesus say? He said he wants us to be a servant. And what do servants do? They serve. Even in the hard times, they serve. Even when things are really, really messy, they keep serving. They keep cleaning. They keep fixing. They keep going. And they don't quit. They don't give up. And they certainly don't whine about it. And Jesus is going, you guys seen this. And you have too. You have too. You've seen Jesus in your life, haven't you? Haven't you seen him do great things in your life? So what stops us? What makes us like these cities? What makes us stop? What makes us quit? What makes us angry or upset? Circumstances of life is always going to be there. Situations will always be there. But what you do with them is what matters. And just like he's saying right here with Jesus, what Jesus is saying to these people right here, and I'm going to go through. It says, woe to you, Chorazin. Let's look at 21. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which is the Old Testament, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more terrible for Tyre and Sidon, which is the cities that he spoke to, in the day of judgment than for you. And you, so basically it's worse for those that know the truth and reject it or do not follow what Jesus had spoken to them in their hearts and healed them and drawed them to and told them the truth and gave them away, made the way for them. He's saying it's more tolerable for those that he destroyed than for those that are hearing, right? And so he's speaking to us in this day right now, to us. These words are for future. It's not just for that city. It's for the city of Lowell, right? It's for Lowell. And then it says, and you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? Will you? You will descend to Hades. For if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. So he's making it very clear. People, you have Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit. You have him. You have that strength that God has given you. You have the way made for you. And all Jesus is asking here is that you would repent of your deeds, grab a hold of Jesus and the Spirit's alive in you, and follow him. And be diligent to follow him. Whatever he asks of you. And we were talking about this morning, we had a little meeting, and we talked about, we were talking in our group meeting, and it was the worship team. We were talking about commitment. And I was saying, you know, what do you guys think about commitment? In fact, very few people are really, really committed. I mean, they're too busy to be committed to anything but work or their life or what they're doing to try to survive in this world. And so the commitment level of being committed to the Spirit of God and his work and his plan is down here when it should be up here. I mean, God's people should be the most committed people on planet Earth. I mean, they should be sold out believers knowing what their call is, knowing their gift. And accomplishing that. But most of us are pretty complacent to where we are. We're pretty good. And then when things start, they don't go our way, we start complaining about it, right? Instead of seeking God and getting strength, getting direction, and then following what he said. And most of the time, it takes a pretty humble individual to grab a hold of that, right? Because it's God's way, not ours. We talked about that last week. And so as we do, and if you look at John the Baptist and the work that he did, what did he get for it? He got thrown in prison and beheaded. I mean, to the world, it makes no sense. Why would anybody want to make a way for Jesus and die for it? Well, let me tell you something, folks. That's exactly what he's called us to do. Make a way for Jesus and die to ourselves. And so what is it that your personality makeup is doing in this relationship with Christ? Verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father. He's going to pray, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. You guys have to understand that the intelligent people, those that are in our system today, that are working the banks, that are doing all the jobs, that are getting paid lots of money, have no idea what this is saying. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, thank you, Lord, that you give this truth to those that are just babes. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. We are blessed. Because guess what? Jesus has revealed this truth to us. We're blessed. We understand who Jesus is. We understand these truths. He's revealed it to us. He's opened it. He's opened this mystery to our eyes that we get to see. And then he goes on to say, come to me. And he's calling his people to himself. He's come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Does that mean you don't have to go to work anymore? That you can just quit everything and everything will be good because you've come to Jesus? No. All these things aren't going to change in the world. Right? That's not going to stop. That's going to continue. He's saying spiritually, come to me and I'll give you rest and you'll be able to deal with the things of the world. They won't be so burdensome to you. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. What's your soul? Your mind, your will to choose, and the emotions that come in around all that. And we live in the soul realm. But Paul, remember, he said, walk in the Spirit, and you won't do the things of the flesh. So there's an element of understanding. And Jesus is saying, do you want rest for your mind? How about the choosing things that you're having difficulties with? What do I do, God? Or how about how you're feeling right now? Are you feeling a little bit down or beat up or somebody did something to you and you're hurting? Jesus says, come. Come on. Come to me. Spiritually, grab a hold of who I am. You will find rest in that place. And he's talking about what you do for him, right? It isn't about the doing so much as it is the being. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He didn't throw a yoke on his people, you guys. This walk with God's not burdensome. It's not. It's freedom. It's freedom from all the things of the world, right? You come under his covering, and guess what? You're free. Even if you make mistakes, you can slip right back into that place and ask for forgiveness, and the peace of God comes. It's relationship and knowing your King. And knowing how much he loves you. I mean, sometimes I think we think God's a big ogre in the sky that's going to punish us when we do something wrong. Sometimes he's grieved by the things we do. But he does. He's right there, and he draws us back to himself to cleanse us from unrighteousness. And so this thing that I'm talking about is is Jesus taking those things that weigh us down or that draw us away from God? And when we look at commitment to the Lord and we look at things that God has called us to do, you know what? We should be excited to do things for the Lord. You know what? No matter what the cost. Because it's going to cost you something. Anybody figured that out yet? Following Jesus is going to cost you your life. Right? Galatians 2:20. No longer I live, but Christ is it's you that lives in me. Therefore, all these things of the soul and the things that my body is dealing with, I lay them at your feet, and I want to walk in the Spirit. And I ask that your Spirit would come alive in me. Come upon me, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit. And guess what the Bible says? That's what gives you strength. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit on Wednesday night. And I've talked about understanding why God has given us these gifts. Right? If you're walking and doing what God has called you to do, you're going to be energized by that. In fact, we talked about prayer language, and some people believe that that is not real for today, that he's taken that gift away. Well, that's not true, because I have that, and it's from the Spirit of the Lord. And so all I have is my testimony. I also have scriptural background for it too. But the reality is why did he give that to us? To build our old faith, to get us stronger. So that when we're in an issue, we can go in our prayer closet and we can spend time with the Lord, and God strengthen us so we can come out and we can deal with the things in the world. That's why. And so if you don't have that, why, it would be good if you did. It would be very beneficial for you. I know it is for me. So I believe that God wants us to understand that this relationship and these gifts for us, and there's gifts, and all the gifts, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, go back and look at it, what them gifts are for. It's for the edification of the body. It's to build up us. It's for us. And so the body is a unit. We're made up of many parts, but we're one body, and we all work together for this goal. Well, what's the goal? The goal is to grab people that are dying in the world and give them life. Not just life for today, but for eternity. And that's what matters, because this life is the short one. People are dying off by the droves without Jesus. And then when you look at the Muslim world, you know, everybody says, well, nuke the Muslims. No. The Muslims are, by standards, there's more Muslims coming to Jesus than any other sect or cult in the world today. Do you guys know that? Muslims are getting saved by the droves right now. Right now. Out of any other time in history. And you know why? Because they see the truth of what the Quran's doing and all that stuff, and where it's leading to, and the hate and the blowing people up and all that stuff. They're going, wait a minute, this doesn't fit. Right, it don't fit. And all those that see the truth that God's drawing to himself are coming to understanding and seeing it. And once they see it, then they walk in it. There's the peace that passes understanding. That's the peace that falls in your life unto death, right? Because what is life to us? Does it consist of your work? Does it consist of your stuff? Huh? What is life to you? Does it consist of your family members? All I know is that I went to that funeral, and all my cousins and aunts and uncles that I haven't seen, we come together at a funeral so that we can see each other. How about you? Been there? And the cool thing about what I found out when I was over there is that a lot of my relatives, they were heathen dogs in the past. I remember. I'm the only pastor that we know of in both sides of our families for generations. We don't know any other pastor anywhere in our generations that have come to follow Jesus in that way. I'm it. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing to me, and I'm so thankful. Why? Because God chose to follow after me and to draw me to himself. And the only reason why, and this is the kicker, you know why? Because I said yes. That's it. That is the only reason. Because I could be doing something else. And so could you. Now, I'm not saying all of you should be pastors. But I am saying this. Whatever you're called to, by all means, be doing it. Right? Whatever the cost. Because what matters when you go to stand before the Lord? I mean, have you ever thought about that? Does anybody think down the road just a little ways? And I'm looking at all my uncles and aunts are dying off. They're dying off. My dad, you know, they're all. In fact, I went in to see my Uncle Jed, and he's my dad's younger brother. My dad's actually the oldest. And so his next brother has died. His sister under him has died. His brother under her is right there ready to die. His sister has cancer. His other sister is like just hanging on. And he's the oldest, and he raised his brothers and sisters because his mom died at 40, and he was the oldest son. We're all going to go there someday. And when you look back at your life, if you're sitting in that chair, I looked at my Uncle Jed, he looks just like my dad. I mean, and we walked in there and looked at him. He was sitting in that chair like my dad is right now. The only thing he can do is get up to go potty. It's as far as he can go. And I looked at him, and I looked at my uncle, and this is it for them. Right? And when I look back at their life, my dad wasted a lot of time. And he didn't follow Jesus. He knew Jesus, but he didn't follow him until his last days. All those years when my mom went to church and he just refused to go. I get a day off today. I'm going to sit in my chair. Take it easier. I'm going to work on the place. Or I'm going to do something I want to do. All those years he could have encouraged his boys to get to church and follow Jesus. His regret. You know what his biggest regret is? Is that he didn't follow Jesus sooner. When you stand before the Lord one day, and you will, every one of us will, I hope your regret is that you didn't follow Jesus sooner. I hope you got a big smile on your face and you say, Lord, I did everything I could. Everything. All my work. My house, my stuff, did not compare with what you called me to. And the generations that are under me know Jesus. That's so important. We shouldn't have regret. If we're following Jesus, man, we should be just happy to do it and be excited about it. Excited about it every day, because one day you're going to get old. We all are going to. Amen. And when you get old, when I get old, you know what I want to say? I want to say, I've done it. Everything I did, I did it, Lord, I did it. It cost me everything, but I did it. No, I don't have a mansion on the hill, and I don't drive a fancy car, I don't have all the stuff, but Lord, I followed you. And there was a lot of stuff that happened in between all that, but I did the best I could to do what you called me to do. And Jesus is saying, come. He's telling it to all of us. He's saying, come. All you who are weary and heavy laden, and you know what? You still got to get up and go to work tomorrow. You still got to get into life. You still got to do what you got to do to survive. But you can go with Jesus. And you can look through the eyes of Jesus where you are and what you're doing. And whoever you can talk to in that day, or whatever you can do to spend time praying in the Spirit with God. If you got time alone with God in your work, Like some of you guys maybe drive, or some of you guys maybe sit at a desk, or whatever you do for a living, right? You know what? You can pray without ceasing, right? And you can have fellowship with God. But you know what I used to do? I used to worry about how I was going to get the business taken care of. And so in my mind, I'd lay down at night and my brain would be going on what to fix tomorrow, or how much timber should I cut to make the bills next month, right? How many guys do I need to process this job to make it done on time? Who am I pleasing, man? How can I please man? How can I make more money? I thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. I was pretty good at it because I made a lot of money. And then it all went away. Trust me, you guys, money won't last. It comes and it goes. It's just money. It's just a way to eat. Some of it sticks to you. But what is the important thing about this whole thing is that you are completely sold out to Jesus, so that one day when you're old sitting in your chair and the only thing you can do is stand up and go potty, in your prayer life you can go say, thank you, God. Thank you for giving me all the stuff that you've given me and the strength to talk about Jesus and to spread the gospel and to share God with people. And when they get to heaven, they're going to come to you and say, thanks for spending that time. So here's where we are. We're in this element of casting our cares upon the Lord and our individual relationship with God, no matter where you are or what you're doing. And you have to ask yourself, God, are you pleased with me? And I can remember lots of times when I asked that question and the Lord said, Dave, I love you. I love you, but I'm not very happy with you. Why? Because I just wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. And I knew it. So the question is this. Well, we know that God loves us, right? Everybody know that? You got to know that he loves you. Why? Because he said so. I love you. He gave everything he was, everything that he was on earth. He died. He gave everything up for you, for you. Now, we know that. But the question is this. Is God happy with you? I mean, if you was to have a conversation with him right now, would he say, well done, you're doing good? Or is there something that God has asked you to do that you just refuse to do? Or that you won't do because it's not in the plan of your life? Hey, being a pastor wasn't my plan. In fact, it was the last thing on my list. But what's on your list and what's on God's list is two different lists. I'll have you know that right off the get-go. He wants us to surrender. He wants us to love people like he loves them. And he wants us to die to ourselves and how we feel about all that. He wants to see us to see people through his eyes, not our own. And as we do that, that's a difficult task. It's not easy. I'm not saying it is, but through Jesus it is. Because he helps us do it. He helps us love people right where they are, no matter where we are. But we could be that person that's in that place of just staying stagnant, not engaging, not committing. Just, I'm okay. As long as everybody leaves me alone, I'm all right. Well, what would have happened to the world if that's what Jesus did? What would have happened to the world if all the apostles and the prophets and John would have said, ah, no thanks, I'm good. I know you love me, Jesus. I don't know. I know that as I look at our world today, it's kind of scary. Kind of scary to see what the future looks like. I remember having a conversation with my son and in his generation, and he was saying, Dad, what's going to happen to the world when our generations become the leaders of this world? I thought about it for a minute. I was going, yeah, you're right. They're pretty scary. A lot of bonehead kids out there. Of course, I was a bonehead kid too. So, you know, you live and learn. And maybe they'll do better than we did. But I'll guarantee you, unless we do our job, they won't. They won't. Why? Because we didn't do what we're supposed to do. And what are we supposed to do? Lead them to Jesus. Because if they got these principles, it will work. If they don't have these principles, it will not work. I can prophesy. But as we see these days approaching, the one thing I know for sure, without any shadow of a doubt, God's called us to sell out to him. He's called every one of us to give it up and do what he's called us to do in this life between birth and death. And I know a lot of you guys are. I mean, you're doing everything you can do. And amen. You know, bless you. Bless you, bless you, bless you. But those of you that have that question, all I'm saying and I'm asking is that you would take this message to heart. Because when he was pretty serious when he talked about the cities that he came and showed himself to, and they rejected that, they fell away from Christ, and they went, wow, great miracle, God. Thanks. But then on the teaching, he said, go and do likewise. And they went, whoop, me? Nah, I'm good. And he's saying to you, go and do likewise. Give your life. Give your life to Jesus. Sell out. And here's the deal. Your generations to come that are under you, it said here, that I kind of ran over that real quick, but talked about the fruit. Where was it? Oh, up in verse 19, right at the end of 19, he said, yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. Right? Your deeds matter. And the wisdom in your deeds and what you do with your life, that to follow Jesus and to do likewise, do what he says to do, will matter. Right? Your deeds will show who you are. How sold out are you to Jesus? Well, that's between you and the Lord. Now, I'm not the judge of that. I love you anyway, wherever you are, wherever you walk. But I know God's calling us to a closer depth of relationship. I mean, I think some of you guys are even scared to pray. In fact, I know that for, and maybe it was background, right? Maybe it's what you were taught. But, man, the last thing we need to be scared of is praying and praying for others. That's the last thing we need to be afraid of. In fact, we should be excited about praying for somebody because that's what Jesus called us to do. He said, pray and never give up. Pray without ceasing. Pray for those that are around you. I know Dan does. He prays for people in the store. He's not afraid to pray for people. And my prayer is this, and I'm not picking on anybody. Just let you know. I just know that if we are scared, guess where fear comes from? It's the enemy. He's trying to stop us from being what God called us to be. So when that comes up, when that arises in your life, and I know I'm speaking to some of you guys, when that arises and says, whoa, wait, that's out of my comfort zone, you know what you need to do? You need to say, Lord, give me the strength and step right on into it and get to work. Because if you're stopped by fear will stop you from doing anything. Because guess where fear comes from? Fear is not from the Spirit of God. Just remember, I can take you to the Word. Right? Fear does not come from the Lord. Boldness, strength, be courageous. Do what God's called you to do. Because guess what? It is not, I mean, everything about what God's called us to do is a little bit scary. Standing up here as a pastor, sharing you this message is just a little bit scary. Because, I don't know how you guys are going to receive this. Whether you'll see it like this is a judgment thing from Dave to his congregation. That's not at all what it is. But the enemy can twist it, right? Say, yeah, he's on us again. I hate going there when he does that. That's not what this is about. And this is about your relationship with Christ and what you do with it. And my encouragement to you is that you guys are doing good. You are doing good. I mean, I see a lot of fruit. And the fruit, the deeds, is what shows that we are Christians by our love for one another. But it's the heart question. It's that one that if Jesus was to stand right before you, would you just be good with it? I mean, I can't wait. And I'm not perfect. I make lots of mistakes. But I know that I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. And I know that he loves me. And I know he's drawing me to himself. And I just keep trying to get better and better and better. And through the strength of his love and his power and might in me, I do. And so that's what my encouragement is to you. What's he say? I'm going to go over it one more time, then I'm going to quit. It's almost 11:30. And I'll leave you with this. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. You know, one thing I know, here's what I know. And you can read the Bible from cover to cover, and never does God say, put your trust in anybody except for him. Right? If you're trusting in Dave, stop it. Right? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Right? The only one you can truly trust that isn't going to leave you hanging is your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and he is. And you will find rest for your soul. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And that's where I want to leave it. You know, this scripture he gave to me, and I'll tell you what, my whole world wraps around this. I can't go on without this passage of scripture. I can't do it any other way. There's no other way. This is it. This is the way. Is Jesus. And so, prayer team, if you guys want to come up, throw a little music up. If you guys need a prayer, somebody just to pray with you about something, I just want to give you opportunity before we go home. You know, if you want to say, you know, I concurred with this message and I'm a little weary. Things are kind of heavy right now and I just need some prayer. And this is the cool thing about Sunday service is that we can put action to what we heard. You know, we can put feet to it. Or we can go home and think about it. Either way, you know, God's asking you to do something with it. And so this is an opportunity to come and just have you share what the Lord's put on your heart. Hallelujah. That's true. I make lots of mistakes.